I'd like you to turn back this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. We want to continue on in our examination of the Alpha course, which we commenced last Lord's Day morning. And I want to look at this again this morning. Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want to deal this morning with the subject of the fact that Alpha practices an unscriptural ministry. It practices an unscriptural ministry. But just before we look at this, let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing as we look at his word. Heavenly Father, we come before thee in the Saviour's precious and worthy and all-prevailing name. We thank thee, Lord, in a day of charismatic confusion, in a day of church confusion, in a day, Lord, of ecumenical activity, in a day of devilish deception, we can turn to the Word of God. Lord, we thank thee that thy Word never changes. We bless thee the standards of the Gospel never change. We thank thee the message of salvation never changes. We thank thee the means of presenting the message of salvation never change. And our Father, we pray this day, if we would consider this subject in the light of God's word, that thou will give us a discerning mind, give us an understanding heart. Lord, may we not be children in understanding, but in our understanding may we be men. And Lord, we pray that we might be like the children of Issachar, who had an understanding of the times. And although they were small in number, they had an understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. Lord, may that be the case with us as well. Lord, surely thou hast called us to the kingdom for such a time as this, to earnestly contend for the faith, to be set for the defence of the gospel of Christ. And Lord, we pray that we might not be found wanting in these dark times. Bless thy word to this end. Lord, we pray that thou wilt open our eyes, that we might understand what is taking place in this province and across the world. We might also be true and faithful unto Christ. Bless us to this end and speak afresh to our hearts. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Earnest Christians often pray for a revival of true religion across the world. When they see the increasing apathy for spiritual things, the deepening apostasy in religious circles, the rising sin among young people and old people, the continuing immorality and loose living, the breaking of the Ten Commandments, and the slighting and rejecting of the gospel of Christ, earnest Christians often take up that prayer of David and cry to God, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Those who have a vision and an understanding of the day in which they live long for a return to the old paths. They long for God to come and to visit his church with blessing. And they long also for the unsaved to be brought into a living and a saving union with Jesus Christ. A revival of true, genuine religion is their desire. Now, when we speak of revival, we often imagine it leading to an increase of love for the things of God. We imagine when revival comes, there will be a new devotion to the Scriptures, a desire for prayer. We often imagine that when God comes in revival blessing, there will be a number of genuine conversions to Jesus Christ, a transformation in an area or a district or even in a country. In other words, when we speak of revival, we expect that revival to make an impact for God and an impact for good upon the community. Now, those who advocate the Alpha course will suggest that's exactly what's happening through the running of these courses. They will very quickly point to the 17,000 courses that are being conducted worldwide this year alone. They'll speak of the multitudes, many of them non-regular church attenders in the past, the multitude who are now frequenting places of worship. They will very quickly point to the conferences
that are overbooked 3 and 4 months in advance. They will talk of the weekends devoted to biblical subjects, which can hardly cater for the numbers now wanting to attend them. They'll highlight the church growth in various areas of the province and areas of the United Kingdom itself. And they'll describe these things as a sure sign, sure tokens for good, that revival has come. The argument goes something like this: this is really a work of God. There is in the nation a return to religion. This is a move of the Holy Spirit. This is phenomenal and surely indicative of the heaven's blessing. They will say that Alpha is an instrument in the hand of God to change the world. Sounds great. Sounds very impressive. It sounds astonishing. It sounds like revival. And yet I suggest this morning that all is not what it seems to be. Alpha is a phenomenal thing. It has spread into scores of countries across the world. It has witnessed an increase in spiritual things. It has been adopted by many churches. It has witnessed tremendous growth. But believer, these things must not and cannot be allowed to hide the fact that there are many aspects about Alpha which mean it must be rejected. I contend today that there are things about this 10-week course that no evangelical, reformed and Protestant witness can be happy with. There are matters within this course that give grave cause for concern. There are issues raised here that are not in keeping with biblical Christianity. The last Lord's Day I set forth my first objection to Alpha by stating that it presents an unbiblical theology. It's not marked with sound doctrine. It fails to present the whole truth of the Word of God. It's not so much what it says as what it doesn't say. It doesn't present the whole truth of the Word of God. And for an initiative that is presented as an introduction to the Christian faith, that is indefensible. It is flawed in its teaching on the distinctive character of God. It's flawed on its teaching on the depravity of man, and it's flawed on its teaching on the death of Christ. It presents a non-biblical theology. But there's another reason why I object to the Alpha course and why I oppose the Alpha course, and that lies in the fact that it practices a non-scriptural ministry. And there are a number of things in relation to that that I want to highlight with you and for you this morning. I want you to think, first of all, on the current presentation of Alpha. The current presentation of Alpha. Any group or any body with a genuine desire to proclaim the gospel should be careful to present it in a manner which honors God and is in agreement with God's word. We ought not to adopt the methods and the means of the world. We must never reduce Christianity to the level of a social principle. We must never present Christ and his truth as a thing of entertainment or a thing of amusement. These things are not pleasing to God. Don't you remember the words that we've been reading in 1 Corinthians 1:21? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The gospel, therefore, is to be preached. It's to be presented in a solemn, in a scriptural, in a forthright manner. The gospel is to be declared as the word of God and the will of God for men, and it's to be applied to the conscience. Sinners must be faced with the importance and with the urgency of this message. After all, for them, it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. Now, when I come to Alpha, I see a different approach, an altogether different approach. For example, on its website, on the internet, Alpha is portrayed as a low-key, friendly, and fun. And there's great emphasis placed on the website as Alpha being a means to explore Christianity. They talk about it as a means of exploring the meaning of life. Now to me, and this is a personal view, that reduces this solemn subject to the level of a children's treasure hunt. Let's make it fun. Let's make it like an adventure. Let's present it in such a way that no one can be offended. Let's make it as an exploration into the meaning of life. I don't believe the gospel was ever intended to be presented like that. The great preachers of old, men like Isaiah, men like Jeremiah, men like Micah the prophet, men like Paul the apostle, men like Peter, men like John, men right into church history times, men who lived in recent times, never presented the gospel in that way. They were plain spoken men. They were not given to exploring the meaning of life. They were not given to exploring the gospel. These were men who were given to expounding the gospel and exhorting sinners to flee from the wrath which is to come. They were not involved in the business of making this an adventure, an attractive thing. They were there to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Then again, there is great emphasis on the suppers that accompany some Alpha courses. It's suggested that those who run the Alpha course, and this is on their official guidelines, official manuals, it's suggested that those who run the Alpha course should commence each evening with a supper or a meal, and this will help to bring other people in. Now, I have no objection to a supper, but the comment of a Norwegian woman who together with her husband started to run these courses in Norway highlights something very interesting. Mrs. Mosbold stated in an article for the Alpha News, "We saw that in Alpha it wasn't only the teaching that was important, but the food too. Whereas we considered having just hot chocolate and buns, we decided in the end to go ahead and have a full dinner every night. The food has been brilliant. I think that this is part of the reason why the course has been so successful." That's very enlightening. The success of the course rested in part on the culinary skills of those who were running the course. It's a sure way to bring people in. Free meals or very cheap meals have always been an attractive proposition. It's no wonder large numbers attend these meetings. It's no wonder that all types of characters are drawn in and attracted to the Alpha course when they are presented, in her case at least, with a 3 or 4 course meal to commence with. Pastor Wes Richard takes up a similar theme. Speaking of the Alpha course, he said, "We realized that we needed to offer something that was friendship-based on food that is social, that has an apologetic element to it, especially in a postmodern world where they can have some spiritual experience." That's quite a statement. So much for Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verses 2 to 5 when he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Paul doesn't encourage Timothy to have a food-based, socially inclined, apologetic, friendship-founded ministry. He was to preach the whole counsel of God. He was to reprove and to rebuke. He was to exhort with all long-suffering. Timothy was to be a preacher of the Word of God. He was not to come along in some social way and present the Scriptures. Alpha tramples over that. Of course, many other churches do as well. The social gospel has taken the place of the infallible Word of God. The preaching ministry has been exchanged for a ministry based on fun and food and some kind of fellowship. I tell you, it's the wrong way to go. It's the wrong way to go. There's something else that gives me cause for alarm in highlighting the presentation of Alpha. Alpha is run now in many universities, many colleges where young people gather. It's reported that these courses may be run by Christian unions, university chaplains, or Christian student organizations. They are usually held on campus in a union bar or some other room, or sometimes in a local pub frequented by students. I find that quite amazing. There's no reverence for the things of God in a pub. Those places are noted for their behavior which is contrary to the word of God. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, is the words of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15. They're dens of iniquity. And yet here we have young people being encouraged not to come out of them, but they're being facilitated in the pub.
It's happening in Ulster. You may be aware of the Reverend Steve Stockman, Presbyterian minister in Belfast. He featured last night in the Belfast Telegraph with a new CD tape that he's launching. And with his earring in, he looks quite a sight. But he encourages young people in Belfast to go to the pubs. He encourages them into that environment. He encourages them into the clubs of the city centre. Young people ought not to be encouraged into pubs. In fact, young people ought to be exhorted to come out of the pub and out of that environment and out of that company and out of that atmosphere. The public house, the club, is no place for a young person or an older person. It's no place to spend an evening. Yet when we come to the Alpha course, they encourage young people to go into the pub by having their courses there. It's interesting to think that the publican who permits the Alpha course into his pub obviously sees no danger to his trade. He's not concerned that by bringing in this introduction to Christianity that young people are going to stop buying his drink. He must be quite happy to have it. I can't imagine a publican being happy with a gospel mission that means his trade declines because people are being converted and changed. It has to be a telling thing in their presentation when they are happy to take this into the public houses and the dens of iniquity of this world. It has to be an interesting thing. And it's a revealing thing. And as you look at Alpha, you can't help but conclude here's a ministry conducted at best in the power of the flesh. It's a man-engineered system. It depends on shrewd marketing. It appeals primarily to the physical desires of many. It attracts men and women, not because of its preaching, but because of its presentation. And I say this morning, that's not a scriptural way to conduct the work of God. I don't suggest we need to be dowdy or dull. I'm not suggesting the minister or the preacher or the Church of Christ should be wrong-faced and aloof or careless of people's problems or indifferent to the needs of a modern age. I don't suggest that. But the gospel ministry is not to follow the methods of this age. Jesus Christ, remember, is the same yesterday and today and forever. His gospel doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His command to the church doesn't change. We are to exercise in the world, in the generation that God has placed us, we are to exercise a preaching ministry. The gospel is to be presented in a clear, concise, and convincing manner. So I object. Because of the current presentation of Alpha, it is unscriptural. I object also because of the corrupt foundation of Alpha. The Alpha course has its origins in Holy Trinity, Brompton, an Anglican church in West London. It has been described as one of the flagship churches presenting the cause of charismatic practice. The late David Watson, who was once a minister in the church, stated that the Protestant Reformation was a mistake. Through his sponsorship and the sponsorship of his church, many leading charismatic individuals from America came to England and were introduced to the public there. According to one writer, these Americans, especially John Wimber of the Vineyard Movement, influenced a generation of British ministers and Christians to embrace a doctrine that accepted that Christians could be demonized, that signs and wonders were to be accepted as a normal supplement to preaching-based evangelism, and that it was possible for ordinary Christians to use supernatural gifts of healing, casting out of demons, and note this, receiving extraordinary gifts of supernatural insight and prophecy.
In 1997, the same church, Holy Trinity Brompton, helped to sponsor a conference which brought over from America a man by the name of Clark Pinnock. Pinnock is a supporter of the Toronto Blessing. He's a radical man who believes that people may be converted without hearing the gospel, and that God is not really aware of all that is happening, and that he is capable of being surprised by events and of changing his mind. Now, these are the types of men who are invited and supported by Holy Trinity Brompton, the church which gave rise to the Alpha Course. Its past history is very, very questionable. There are many things here that are not in keeping with the Word of God, yet this church lies at the foundation of the Alpha Course. And perhaps that's most clearly seen. The corrupt foundation of the Alpha Course is most clearly seen in comments regarding the Word of God. The Scripture must be viewed by the Christian as the foundation for any and for every work of God. The Bible is our sole rule of faith and practice. It has supreme authority. The Alpha does quote from the Bible. I would be wrong if I said it doesn't. Throughout the 15 lessons, there are texts and portions referred to and quoted from the Word of God. In fact, in week 5 of the course, the Bible is affirmed as the supreme authority for what we believe and how we act. That sounds excellent. The Bible is the supreme authority for what we believe and how we act. It sounds a very good statement. It gives the impression that Alpha is Bible-based. But it also seems from reading their literature that Alpha teaches, and I'm quoting now from Nicky Gumbel, who's a leading figure in the Alpha Course. He says, God also speaks to people directly through other people. In other words, the Bible is supplemented by other means. I get the distinct impression that the other means have become more important than the Bible. I say that because I've just read through the Alpha News, which is their newspaper, and there's not one quotation from God's Word. There's not even a Bible reference. The Bible is mentioned in 3 or 4 different places. One was about a man using the pages of a Bible to make cigarettes while he was in prison. The other was an advert for a new international version of the Scriptures. But nowhere in the 40-page newspaper is God's Word quoted. Others, great emphasis placed on the training videos. A great emphasis placed on the books, upon the instructors' manuals, upon the posters, upon the invitations, but no such emphasis upon the Word of God. As far as Alpha is concerned, other things take the place of the Scriptures. Christian, that ought not to be so. Christ exhorted men to search the Scriptures. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's how God speaks to men. Through his word, in accordance with his word, by his word, visions and dreams and prophecies have a distinct charismatic ring about them. That's not sound. That's a corrupt foundation. Anything that's built on that is not a sound or a solid foundation to build upon. It's an unscriptural ministry because it sets aside the basis of the Word of God. It's unscriptural because of its current presentation, because of its corrupt foundation. It practices an unscriptural ministry also because of the charismatic deception of Alpha. The Alpha Course has been described as being thoroughly and unashamedly charismatic. Charismatic emphasis and the extolling of charismatic experience run throughout the course. That's not altogether surprising, given the history of Holy Trinity Brompton. It's a charismatic church. And therefore, it's no surprise that Alpha continues with that charismatic deception. Alpha is a charismatic initiative. Maybe I should ask, what is the charismatic movement? Well, the charismatic movement is the devil's counterfeit and the devil's substitute for a genuine and scriptural work of the Holy Ghost. And this subject comes to the very heart of the Alpha Course. Central to the 15 lessons, the 10 weeks of the course, is what is termed the weekend away. Officially, the weekend is a crucial element of the course when the Holy Spirit is introduced. Sometimes the teaching can be incorporated into a single day, but the weekend is a good chance to cement friendships and take a break away. What usually happens is that those who run the course, be it a church, be it a university, be it a home group, be it a workplace, those who run the course book into a hotel or a conference center or somewhere away from home, and they book in for the weekend so they can be together and consider the subject of the Holy Spirit. You might well ask, what takes place at the weekend? Well, great emphasis is laid on being filled with the Spirit of God. People are told not to be afraid to vent their feelings or express themselves in extravagant ways. They're urged to accept the gift that is offered. And there are certain instructions, certain guides, and certain steps that are given to those who are present at the weekend away. I'll give you a number of them. You are to ask God to fill you with His Spirit and to give you the gift of tongues. Go on seeking Him until you find. Go on knocking until the door opens. Seek God with all your heart. Number two, open your mouth and start to praise God in any language but English or any other language known to you. Number three, believe that what you receive is from God. Don't let anyone tell you that you made it up. And oftentimes these weekends are marked with bodily sensations, tinglings, swoonings and trances and ecstasies and hysterical laughing and giggling like a playful toddler, as one man described it. And many people mark this time, this weekend away, this Holy Spirit weekend, they mark this as the time of their conversion. They speak of warm feelings of love and told, this is the work of God. These sensations, they say, that you feel in your body are the signs of the infilling of the Spirit of God. They're proof that you have the Spirit. They're evidence of a real work. And many mark this weekend as the time when they became saved or when they became a child of God. It's all very, very Toronto blessing style. Next Lord's Day will deal with some of the testimonies of those who have come from these weekends. But I tell you, this is another spirit which is not the Spirit of God. This is a charismatic deception. These things are contrary to the Scripture. No man, whoever he may be, can arrange a weekend and monopolize the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God does not produce these weird and strange things. Where do you read in the Bible of those who have been filled with the Spirit of God laughing hysterically? Where do you read of them giggling like a playful toddler? Where do you read of them making strange and wonderful noises? The true infilling of the Spirit of God is a solemn thing, and it's only for those who have been converted. It's not a man-arranged, man-centered, man-ordered thing. It's the work of God which always, always glorifies God. I suggest you read Acts chapter 2 and see how it was with the early church. The experience in Alpha is a counterfeit experience. It does not measure up to the Word of God. It's an unscriptural practice. We haven't time this morning to go into the subject of tongues. But isn't that one of the hallmarks of the charismatic movement? If you can speak in tongues, then you have the gift of the Spirit. If you have the gift of the Spirit, then you must be saved. That's the way the argument goes. That's what threw this whole thing into such disarray when Roman Catholic nuns and priests began to speak in tongues, because the argument held then for them as well. If they were able to speak in tongues, then they must be converted. But they were still in the Roman Catholic Church without any thought of repentance or faith in Christ. I tell you, it's a charismatic deception. And the Alpha Course is involved in this and promotes it and practices it. And it's an unscriptural thing. Galatians 1 verse 8, Paul speaks very strongly of those who preach another gospel. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, he speaks of those who speak of another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. That's how it is with Alpha. It's another spirit altogether. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit of God. It's an unscriptural ministry because of its current presentation. It's an unscriptural ministry because of its corrupt foundation. It's an unscriptural ministry because of its charismatic deception. It's an unscriptural ministry because of the clear motivation for Alpha. The clear motivation for Alpha. True Christian service will always be for God's glory. Whatever impact it may have, whatever influence it may make, whatever increase it might enjoy, we are to do all things for the glory of God. That's to be our motivation. That's not the case in Alpha. Its success is measured by church growth. Church growth. Remember, one of the reasons why this has been developed was to arrest the decline in church attendance. Those ministers and curates in England noticed that church numbers were falling. They noticed that young people were not attending. They noticed that church roles were starting to decrease. They started to realize that they weren't able to attract new people in, and just an older congregation who were rapidly passing on. And when they looked at these things, there was panic. And they began to fear for their future as curates and as ministers. And they decided to bring in something more attractive, something appealing, something not too heavy, something that was socially acceptable. And they argued that if they would bring in something like this, then people will return. Make it fun, and it will work. Make it light, and it will be attractive. Make it appealing to the flesh, and we'll get people back into the church. And that's what's happened. And the motivation for Alpha is not the glory of God. It's not the extension of God's kingdom. It's not a desire to see men and women clutched from the brands and clutched as brands from the burning. It's not the desire to see a church that's separated onto the gospel. It's to see church growth in whatever denomination. I don't believe that's a work of God. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Very subtle, very attractively presented. But it practices an unscriptural ministry. Let us never be tempted down this particular road. Set the title Alpha to the side. And what you have is a modern initiative that has been adopted by many churches who may not take the name Alpha. But they've begun to move with the times. Started to change. Started to appear more appealing and more attractive to young people. And the argument goes up that we need to do something. We need to adjust our approach. We need to change our ways. We need to do more by way of fun and recreation and pleasure. We need to change the way of preaching. I ask, did the early New Testament church do that? Does the Bible exhort that? Did Christ commission his disciples to behave like that? No, he didn't. And I tell you, Christian, that leads to disaster. There's one thing worse than empty pews. And that's an offended God. We are to preach. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Our ministry must be scriptural, whether people hear or whether they forbear. And I trust that God will speak afresh to our hearts. There is great moves in our province. Great moves within what we might loosely term Christian denominations, to move away from the ideal and the principles and the pattern that God has given to us in His Word. It's a one-way road to disaster. It's a one-way road to dishonoring God. We must not go down that path. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. May we not be given to a non-scriptural ministry. That's the second objection we've looked at. It presents an unbiblical theology. It practices an unscriptural ministry. You'll not be surprised when I say next Lord's Day in the will of God that it produces false security. Because Alpha is marked by conversions, as they would say. But I want to look at that next Lord's Day. And I pray that God will give us an understanding heart and an understanding mind in these days in which we live. May God bless His Word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the Saviour's name. Father, we're so conscious that we live in an age where men are seeking to push back the boundaries, dispense with the Word of God, introduce novel, often worldly things, seek to do God's work in man's strength. Rather than resting upon the arm of God, they rest upon the arm of the flesh. Lord, save our denomination from going that direction. O God, preserve us, we pray. We ask, Lord, that Thou would guard us and keep us from these worldly innovations. Lord, we thank Thee that it's through the foolishness of preaching that it pleases God to save them that believe. Lord, we pray that ever in our churches the pulpit and the preaching of God's Word would be central. May we forever preach Christ and Him crucified. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Wilt Thou save our province from this deception, we pray. Lord, open the eyes of our people. Open the eyes, Lord, of those who may be searching, may be seeking, may be troubled over sin. Open their eyes, Lord, so they do not fall into this trap. But, O God, have mercy upon them. And we pray that our land would know days of real revival, days of real blessing, days of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Bless us as we part and take us our ways in safety. Keep Thy gracious hand upon us, O God, we pray, and undertake for us in these days. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.